This is KUOW's The Record. I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for tuning in today. Ammon Bundy is on trial 9 months after leading an occupation of Oregon's Malheur National Wildlife Refuge. One occupier was killed in that standoff over the federal government's right to own land, and the federal government owns a lot of it here in the West. Covering the federal trial in Portland is Oregon Public Broadcasting editor Ryan Haas. Ryan told me what Bundy said when he gave his first testimony in the case yesterday.
Well, rather than hearing about his time in Oregon, we heard a lot about Ammon Bundy's childhood and growing up on the Bundy Ranch in Nevada, and a lot of backstory and personal character about who he is and why he became involved in this federal lands movement.
Yes, Ammon Bundy talked a lot about that famous Nevada standoff with his father, Cliven Bundy, but why is that relevant to this trial?
Well, I think to Ammon Bundy and his attorneys, they want to show that he is a normal guy who never set out to challenge the federal government, that the federal government are the ones who came to Nevada and sort of changed who he is as a person. You know, they wanted to present him as a likable guy who is standing up for his family and for the rights of rural Americans in the West. So they talked a lot about how the events of Bunkerville changed who he is and compelled him to eventually come to Oregon.
And how is any of that a defense against the charge, which is impeding federal workers from doing their jobs?
Well, that's a very good question. And it's a question that the judge asked the defense attorneys. You know, she said yesterday, look, you guys can talk about Ammon's life and how the 2014 standoff in Bunkerville affected his mindset. But at the end of the day, that doesn't necessarily answer this conspiracy charge that you're facing. And so I think it's a strategic gamble on the defense's part to see if they can sway jury members to maybe end up as a hung jury or nullify the charges.
Can you tell what the jury is going to be asked to decide when it comes to the trial of these seven people accused of this occupation?
Well, when this trial goes to the jury stage, the judge is going to give them very clear directions. She's going to say, you know, this is how you're going to judge this piece of evidence, and this is how you're going to judge this piece of evidence. And at the end of the day, you're deciding whether these guys conspired to impede federal officers from doing their jobs. And it's not about land transfer movement, and it's not about feeling wronged by the federal government. It's about whether they decided to stop federal workers from doing their jobs.
But of course, Ryan, this emotional question of whether the federal government can own so much land, or I suppose any land, that has your listeners really, it sounds like, really involved in this case.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you're in the West and you understand that so much land out here is owned by the federal government. And, you know, there's a large number of people out here who feel like their livelihoods have been basically cut down. You know, we have the timber industry where a lot of people no longer can log federal land because of restrictions from the federal government. And so they feel like, hey, these guys are prohibiting us from just living our lives. So what can we do to change that? But at the end of the day, a lot of these questions that Ammon Bundy and people who support him are asking have already been settled by the courts.
So what is at stake in this case, do you think?
Well, I think what's at stake is whether these types of actions continue to happen, right? So if the federal government loses this case, it's sort of sets a precedent that these types of actions, taking over federal buildings, taking over federal land in an effort to regain land, these types of actions are allowable. And it's the same for the defendants in this case, except for the inverse, right? So if they get heavy sentences and they go to jail for a long time, it kind of takes the wind out of the sails of this movement. And it may redirect some of these people into other means of protest, like appealing to legislatures to change laws and that sort of thing.
Finally, Ryan, this is, as we said, it's politically polarizing. It's emotional. A man died in this standoff. But the jury doesn't necessarily know or get instructed to care about all that stuff. What do you have any take on where you think this case is going?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I think the jury is instructed not to pay attention to some of these things, but also at the end of the day, they're human people. And, you know, hearing that a man died at the hands of the federal government during this standoff is certainly going to be an emotional thing. And, you know, the federal government or the prosecutors brought in truckloads of guns during their closing statements. And, you know, that, of course, is going to have an impact on how the jury perceives what happened there. And so I think for what's going to happen going forward, I think, again, that really comes back to this question of whether the verdict in this case fuels or sort of tamps down this movement.
That is Ryan Haas with Oregon Public Broadcasting telling you about the federal trial in Portland of Ammon Bundy and six other people. Earlier this year, those armed occupiers took hold of the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge near Burns, Oregon. They're charged with conspiracy to impede federal workers from doing their jobs. Oregon Public Broadcasting is following Bundy's trial with a podcast called This Land is Our Land. You can get it wherever you download your podcasts.